Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading from a devotional book put out by Voice of the Martyrs. It's called Extreme Devotion. This book catalogs the struggles of God's people over past years. And today we're going to visit India, an older India, and a man named William Carey you may have heard of. "They just can't do this," exclaimed William. "Can't you see how wrong it is? Look, most of the people in this town think it's the right thing to do," replied the exasperated government official. "It's part of their religion." William questioned, "How is tying a living woman to her dead husband and burning them together the right thing to do?" With this, the official threw up his hands. "William," he answered, "one man alone can't change this. Just give it up and go back to tending your flock." When his denomination said that God alone would convert heathens in pagan countries, William ignored them and embarked on one of the most successful missionary journeys in church history. In addition, he taught himself several languages and published a book that became the source for the modern missionary movement. He also translated the New Testament into 34 languages and the Old Testament into 8. William Carey fought for years against the practice in India of burning wives alive with their dead husbands. Eventually, despite government opposition, he succeeded in getting the burnings banned. Carey spent his life as an innovator for Christ, facing hardship to make a difference. And he was known for encouraging others to expect great things from God, attempt great things for God, based on Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. William Carey did just that. Matthew 28, 18 and 19, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Most people fall into the following categories when it comes to sharing their faith. There's the go, the slow go, and the no go. When Jesus calls Christians to go into the world and make disciples, some respond with great fervor. Like William Carey, they go, and they go for the gospel. Still others respond, but only half-heartedly, slowing down with age or the busyness of their schedule. Sadly, many believers are no-go Christians. Well, they hear the command, but they figure that someone else will do it. Which category best describes your response to Jesus' call to evangelism? Ask God to renew a desire to share your faith with others. If you are expecting great things from His answer, then be prepared to attempt great things in His name. Amen. If you'd like your own copy of Extreme Devotion, with 365 stories like that, just email Voice of the Martyrs at thevoice@vom.org. I'm also reading from the April 2024 issue of the VOM newsletter magazine. I know it's May as I read this today, and the May issue has arrived at my house, but we're 1 week behind. Can you deal with it? This is called A Divine Misdial. We're going to Turkey. Nurettin was born into a Kurdish family in eastern Turkey and raised as a Muslim, but he never really believed in the Islamic concept of Allah. "I wasn't an atheist," he said. I didn't doubt God's existence. I just didn't see him in Islam." Not interested in religion, Nurettin instead focused on Kurdish politics and making as much money as he could. His political ambitions led him to become a city councilman, and his business interests flourished. Over time, however, he found those achievements unfulfilling. When a friend invited him to meet with some foreigners in a part of the country not commonly visited by tourists, Nuruddin was intrigued. During their meeting, Nuruddin listened but wasn't especially interested. Then, when the strangers stood to leave, one of them offered Nuruddin a book that he had never read, a Bible. I didn't expect much of it, he said, but because he offered it, I took it. Then I started getting curious about what was written and what it said, so I started reading it. As he read the Bible, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 spoke to his heart. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Nuruddin had reached a point where materialism no longer satisfied him. He was seeking something to satisfy his soul. Well, a year later, Nuruddin received an unexpected phone call from the man who had given him the Bible. The foreigner was a Christian worker, and he had called Nuruddin by accident while trying to reach another man named Nuruddin, whom he thought was more interested in meeting to talk about Christ. But the, quote, wrong Nuruddin decided he should meet the Christian again, and without realizing the mistaken identity, the two men arranged to meet at a bus stop. When Nuruddin got off the bus, I thought, no, this is the wrong Nuruddin, the worker said. He suddenly realized he had dialed the wrong number. Oh, well, God knows, he thought. During their second meeting, Nuruddin was astonished when another Kurdish man with the Christian worker prayed over their meal using Jesus' name. The Kurds primarily follow Islam, and Nuruddin had never met a Kurdish Christian. When he prayed, I realized he was Kurdish and he was a follower of Jesus, Nuruddin said. Something just hit my heart. I thought, how is it possible for a Kurd to be a follower of Christ? That question remained on his mind as he continued to read the Bible. And then one day, while reading the book of Revelation, Nuruddin had a vision of Christ. Jesus was standing right in front of me, he said. I confessed right then that Jesus was Lord. In the vision, Nuruddin sensed the Lord saying that God wanted to use him to save others. After Nuruddin called some Christian workers to tell them about his vision and his decision, one of the men began discipling him in the foundational beliefs of Christianity. As he grew in understanding through the next year, Nuruddin decided to keep his newfound faith a secret from his politically active family. He said they wouldn't have cared if he had become an atheist, but becoming a Christian would not have been accepted by family members and fervent Muslim neighbors. In that area of the country, there are some extremely conservative, very religious Muslims, he said. And they would definitely put pressure on you. They're very strong. And I was just a child in the faith. On April 4, 2010, Nuruddin was baptized in secret. And 20 days later, he got an early morning visit from the police. Police interrogated Nuruddin for hours, mostly about his Kurdish political activities. But to his surprise, they also asked him about his faith. Are you a follower of Jesus? They asked. How did you become a follower? Why did you become a Christian? He later learned that someone had posted information about his baptism online. I knew the basics, he said, and I shared the Lord's Prayer with them, but all I could explain was the basics about the faith and the gospel. When he was finally locked in a cell, Nuruddin was overcome with joy and peace. He realized that the Holy Spirit had enabled him to answer the interrogator's questions despite his limited knowledge. Turkish authorities sentenced Nurettin to 2 years in prison for his political activities. As he adjusted to life behind bars, he took comfort from praying the Lord's Prayer each morning and night. Later, he found a Bible in the prison library that he read eagerly, but cautiously. "I would try to read a lot when other prisoners weren't in the library," he said. After completing his prison sentence 2 years later, Nurettin had no income or social standing, but his faith had grown stronger. He spent hours each day praying and sharing God's word with his wife. "I would read the Bible to her and with her," he said. "I think when people come to faith, it is primarily through the reading of the word, because through the reading of the word, the Holy Spirit can touch their heart." Slowly, his wife's heart changed until she too came to faith in Christ. In the months after his release, Nurettin sensed God calling him to leave his worldly pursuits, so he distanced himself from politics. But the government still considered him a potential threat to national security because of his previous political connections. And after 18 months of freedom, authorities rearrested Nurettin and sentenced him to 2.5 additional years behind bars. Nurettin had matured in faith since his first imprisonment. He found it less restrictive than before, enabling him to share his faith more openly. During his second sentence, he was also allowed to bring Bibles inside and give them to others. But finding a receptive audience was challenging. "No one came to faith during that period," he said. "However, pretty much everyone heard the gospel. They knew I was a follower of Jesus, and so they would always ask me questions, and I would answer them." After his second release from prison, Nurettin trained to become a pastor. Today, he leads a small, thriving congregation of Kurdish believers. He said many Kurds are asking questions about the Christian faith and are knocking at the church door, seeking to know more. "People come and sit and observe worship," he said, adding that many Kurds are just as surprised as he was to see Kurdish followers of Christ. A Kurdish church is such a rarity that it has attracted the attention of local news people. "Reporters have come inside during worship and have written reports about it in the paper," he said. A few of the men he ministered to in prison have sought him out since their release, and he prays that they will come to faith in Christ. He wants more Kurds to experience what he did when he read that first Bible that he received years ago. "God willing, I will spend the rest of my life preaching his word until I reach eternal life," he said. Nurettin wants everyone to know God's love, a love he believes led the frontline worker to call him years ago. "It was not a coincidence," he said. "God was orchestrating his divine purpose." Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. If you'd like your this magazine that I'm reading from to be delivered to your house free every week, just contact the people. I'm talking to the folks in the United States here. I don't know how they do this overseas, and we're glad to have overseas people listening today and always. But contact the people at The Voice at vom.org, vom.org. Again, it's a free copy. It'll come every month, and you'll be delighted in the stories that come to you this way. Just contact them. Actually, you can just go to their website, vom.org. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk very soon. Amen.